welcome to another edition of the Kingdom Driven Family. I'm your host, Andrea Schwartz. And today I am spanning a continent and an ocean to talk with a dear friend, Nikki O'Donovan. Nikki has lived on three continents. She was born in South Africa, has lived in the U.S., or should I say she has lived in the country of Texas for a while, and now she makes her home in Ireland. And as we get into our conversation, you'll see why I thought Nikki was an interesting interview. Hello, Nikki.
Hi, Andrea. Thanks so much for having me.
My pleasure. Okay, so Nikki and I met years ago when, as a result of reading one of my books, she had recommended to her mom that she might be in touch with me to help her with some of the issues she was dealing with children. And as a result of that interaction, Nikki sort of pursued me and said, I would like to be mentored, I would like to be taught, and so we started that relationship. And then she felt guilty because she said, I know lots of other people who could benefit from this. Do you mind if we made it a group thing? And that's what you did, didn't you, Nikki?
Yes, you encouraged me. You said, if I could get a group of ladies together, what a benefit it could be for ladies to do a group study. And I was really excited when you told me about that because you had mentioned Institutes of Biblical Law, and it wasn't a book I would have pursued by myself because it was quite a daunting read. And so, yeah, that was pretty exciting.
And what was exciting for me is I had to learn how to use this thing called Skype, which is second nature to me now. And our Bible study spanned continents. We had some people in South Africa. We had some people in Northern Africa. We had a number of people in Europe. We had a number of people in the U.S. And I don't know, the Cayman Islands were part of it. I guess, I don't know what continent we put that on. But anyway, it used to be the international study, and it was exciting for me. And it lasted for 3 years, and we did get through that big fat book. But that's not why I wanted Nikki on today. I wanted Nikki on today because along with being the wife of a pastor and the mother of four children and a stay-at-home mom at that who is very much involved with her children's lives, Nikki has always had a talent, inclination, and passion for music. And so many people think, well, she's a mom, she's a wife, there's no way she could pursue that. But you did, didn't you?
Yep, I did.
So tell us a little bit about your CD project that is your current manifestation of using the abilities and the giftings God gave you in the midst of your calling as wife and mother.
Well, yes. There are many days where I just feel like there's not enough hours in the day to get everything done. And, you know, sometimes I feel like a hamster running in a wheel and I'm rushing about all day and not feeling like I'm getting anything accomplished. And I'm sure many moms would be able to relate to me on that, especially if you've got little ones. But in the midst of all, you know, the busyness of life and the responsibilities that go with being a wife and a mother of four, I take time to recharge my batteries and do something that energizes and refreshes me. And, you know, when I can spend time writing a song or putting music to some lyrics and recording vocals and harmonies, and I just find that therapeutic. I think there's a quote by Leopold Stokowski. He said, a painter paints pictures on canvas, but musicians paint their pictures on silence. And for me, I just love the process of taking an idea and turning it into a thought-provoking song with some soul-stirring music. We arrived in Ireland, and my husband really encouraged me to pursue my lifelong dream of recording and publishing a CD. And the best part is that he's one of my biggest fans, so that's really cool, and he's very supportive of what I've done. And so I started making deliberate steps to publish this album, and it was a really long, slow process. I had to be realistic with the goals that I set. And so the CD project that I've just completed, which is an EP consisting of six songs, it took me about a year and a half to complete. And a lot of that time was spent in watching tutorials and learning how to set up a simple recording studio. There were many times when I felt overwhelmed and completely out of my depth. And, you know, the Lord just sends the right people at the right time to, you know, help you further down that road. And I would do my vocal and piano recordings during the baby's nap time or at night when the kids had gone to sleep. The songwriting was less restrictive because I could, you know, mull over a verse or a chorus while I was folding laundry or washing dishes or making dinner. So, you know, I didn't have to be in a home, my studio for that. And then, you know, then I got musicians involved to lay down their tracks and, you know, they added some outstanding arrangements. Daniel Thomas and David Lee from Fort Worth, Texas were particularly instrumental in helping me make huge leaps towards the finish line. And then Ronnie Brookshire brought the whole project together. He engineered the tracks and mixed and mastered them. And he also produced two songs on the album. So, you know, now my album is produced and it's launched. And I've been spending time figuring out how to market it. But I just do, you know, a little something every day. And, you know, I don't want it to dominate, you know, my primary calling as wife and mother. And so I just try and do a little bit every day just so that I can make, you know, forward steps.
Okay, so I'm going to have you backtrack a little bit. So when you mm-hmm. moved to Ireland from Texas, did
yes.
you intentionally set up a music studio within the house or a mock music studio?
Yes, yes. We have a pretty large walk-in closet. And so it's actually perfect because one of the best rooms that you can set up a studio in is where you've got some kind of way to muffle, you know, the sound, just that soundproofs the room. And so we naturally have that with all the clothes in the room. And so, and it's a beautiful place because it's got a little window that looks out on the most stunning view. And so, yes, we've turned that into just a really simple recording studio.
Okay, so I'm trying to picture. What are the ages of your children?
Rebecca's 10, and Elizabeth is going to be 8 next month. Ben is 4, and John Michael is 2 at the end of this month.
Okay, so now most people would say, how on earth are you ever going to get quiet in that music studio without somebody knocking on the door and saying, I need this, I need that? So what's
exactly.
your children's take? What's your children's take on what you do? I know you said your husband's your big fan. Are your children supportive of what you do, or do they sometimes forget mommy doesn't need to be disturbed right now?
Well, yes, I sometimes have to be creative. You know, when the baby was younger, it was easier because he was slept a whole lot more. So during nap time, you know, I could, you know, tell the kids they could go and play outside for a bit and get something done then. Or at night time, once they'd gone down and they were asleep, then there would be silence. Now, John Michael being 2, he wakes up a little more easily if there's any noise. So thankfully the EP's finished, so I don't have to worry about that anymore. But the kids are very supportive. They're great. They've listened to the songs so many times. Obviously, with each stage that you go through, you know, you constantly listening to the song and seeing how it's developing and growing as, you know, you add the new tracks. And so with each stage, as the song unfolds, you're listening to it over and over, and my kids know them off by heart. And it was really cute. Sometimes John Michael will beg me to put some music on, and if I put one of my songs on, he gets so excited and he dances around just because he recognizes it and knows it so well. And you know, I've really tried to bring some very important lessons in the songs that I've written. I've weaved nuggets of gold, of truth into those songs. And so even when I'm talking to my kids, sometimes I'll even remind them, remember what I said in that song that I wrote. And they're like, yes, yes, Mom, we remember. So the songs I've written are also teaching tools in our own home. So they're very supportive.
Well, that's good. That's good. I'm sure, though, there were times where you had to retake a cut because there was a knock on the door or...
Exactly. Or the baby woke up and there was a big loud cry and I'd be listening back. I was like, oh, wait a minute. I can hear the baby crying in the background there. Oh, yes. Or Benjamin would barge in and, Mommy, this or this or that. And, yes, there were many times that happened.
How important do you think it is for women to pursue their passions and not put it off till the children are all grown?
That is a great question. I think that, as I said, you know, a little bit earlier, for me, this is a way that I can recharge my batteries and do something that I love, and it's energizing. And I just feel that when I can spend that time, I'm even a better mom. I'm more patient just because I've had the opportunity to just do something that refreshes me and something that I enjoy. But more than that, I see this as part of advancing the kingdom of God, and you know, which means bringing all things under Christ's feet, you know, and thinking God's thoughts after Him. As far as music is concerned, you know, you can use it as a tool for advancing righteousness or unrighteousness. And there are many songs out there promoting lawlessness and corruption, you know, whether it be subtle or more in your face. And these seeds are being sown, and undiscerning listeners are embracing these ideas. And, you know, the whole music industry is fraught with idolatry. And so I just feel like in my small way, I can take the gifts and talents that God has given me and put my flag in the ground and just say, this domain belongs to Christ. And, you know, I can be used alongside my fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord, just to have the sound waves resound with the frequency of heaven. And, you know, Martin Sobredi said something that I really like. He said, wherever Christians remain mute, humanists will fill the Lord's air with their music. So I just, for me, what I do is part of advancing God's kingdom, and my children see it and they are inspired. And so I think that whatever a woman's calling is, you know, obviously her primary calling is wife and mother, but when she can use her gifts and talents and channel those into something that just refreshes her and excites her, and she can even get her children involved, I think that is, I think that's really important. And if that is part of advancing God's kingdom, then, you know, you can be productive in many ways. Then it's not just as a wife and a mom, but it's in the gifts that God has given you that you can use those for His glory.
So it really isn't an either or. It can very much be an and.
Yes, absolutely. You know, when even with memorizing scripture and doctrine, like, for instance, we take the scriptures and we put them to music, and the kids, you know, learn whole chapters of Psalms that way. So that's how I've taken my passion and even just weaved it into our everyday life. But yes, it's not an either or, you know, either or. I think that you can do both without robbing either one.
Okay, so let's say someone listening is aspiring to do what you did. Do they need tons of money before they get started? Do they need to, I don't know, do they need to sign with a record label? What does somebody do if instead of the goal isn't to become rich and famous, but the goal is to contribute with your music? How would you advise them?
Well, firstly, to say don't despise the day of small beginnings. And it's with the way that I've done things is obviously that's what I was looking at doing is the most economical way. That's why I set up, you know, a home recording studio. Yes, you don't need a ton of money. You can start small. And sometimes when God breathes on something, you'll just see finances flow in that direction, and then you can expand, or you can do something that would be more expensive. But I think a lot has to do with your motive, and if your motive is to glorify God and enjoy Him, which is why we've been put on this earth, that it doesn't matter, you know, if you don't have a lot of money, you can start small and start with your passion and watch God breathe on that, and just take it one step at a time.
You know, when you speak in those terms, it's funny to me because we have all this technology available to us. And so instead of, if you had had a ton of money, you could have paid people to record for you and do the mixing and everything else. So instead, what you had to do was learn how to do it.
Yes, exactly. And I did get a mixer and a guy who did the mixing and the engineering and the mastering, and he did an amazing job. And I just realized it makes a huge difference getting someone who knows what they're doing. But so much of the other stuff I've had to do myself, and I've thought about it many times. Oh, it would be so nice to pay somebody to do this, because it just takes that much longer to do it yourself, because first you've got to learn how to do it, then you've got to do it, and you've got to try and fit it in between the many other responsibilities that you have. But that's why I say you've just got to set realistic goals for yourself, and then, like you said, be willing to learn where you've got to learn, and just don't despise the day of small beginnings. You just never know what the Lord's going to do.
Right, and I think a great way to find out how serious anyone is about anything goes back to, when the going gets tough, do you decide, you know what, this was a bad idea to start off with,
exactly,
and I'll just forget it? The fact that you stuck with it over a year and a half says this really was a God-breathed passion,
right?
And so it gets difficult. A lot of things get difficult, you know. Training a two-year-old is difficult.
Yeah, exactly.
And then even if the result isn't as pristine as you'd like it, I always get a kick out of the fact that you can go on YouTube and see some of the early recordings, whether it's, you know,
yes,
Bob Dylan or the Beatles, and it's rough and it's scratchy.
Exactly.
But it'll say, you know, 25,000 views.
Exactly. I've had to remind myself of that many times, just thinking that, you know, if I want to compare myself to somebody else's fifth or sixth album, I'm not being fair, because, you know, if you listen to their first album, you can actually hear a difference between their first album and their fifth or their sixth or their seventh album, because they've grown and they've been able to, you know, upgrade and get, you know, spend more money on their project. And so, you know, it's just not to compare yourself in that way, because it doesn't do any good. And everybody starts out and then builds up from there.
Right. And I think one of the most important things is getting started. In other words, if you wait till it's all perfect, you'll never get started.
That's exactly right. Absolutely. Right.
So share a little bit. We haven't talked about the name of the EP. We haven't talked about the songs that are on it. Why don't you share a little bit about that before we close?
Okay, sure thing. Well, the EP is called Mirror on the Wall, and it consists of six songs. And, you know, I just wanted to weave life lessons and relevant issues and put that to catchy music. And there's you'll hear a little bit of a hint of jazz and a little bit of folk. But I just want the songs to be easy listening soul food. And you'll be able to get the EP actually for free for a limited time. On Noise Trade. I have the album on Noise Trade, and if you search for Nikki O'Donovan or Mirror on the Wall, you'll be able to download the album there and hear it. I'm on Facebook. I have a website, nikkiodonovan.com, NikkiOdonovan, nikkiodonovan.com, and so there's samples of the music there, and I have a blog as well, where I just speak a little bit about the story behind some of the songs.
What's the rationale or thinking behind letting people download it for no charge? Is this a project that you want to make money on eventually, to finance the next one? Or what's the thinking behind that?
Well, you've got to get really creative with your marketing strategy, especially when you're an independent artist. And so you can either spend the money trying to market the project, or you can use the actual project, you know, the actual CD as a means, as a marketing strategy. And when you make something available for free, obviously people like it, they share, everybody loves something for free. And so that way, if you can gain a fan base or a following, then for the next project, you can actually do a Kickstarter campaign and people may be willing to then help you fund your project anyway. So there's a lot of different strategies people use, but this is one of the strategies. But obviously the goal is to be able to make enough money to do another project, yes.
Right. Well, that makes sense. I hope that people will make use of it. I will make sure that when I post the podcast, I have a link to what you mentioned.
Okay, brilliant.
And I'm also thinking that if you think it's okay, we will be able to play some clips. I'll make those available for people to listen to as well. They'll get a chance to hear what has been on your heart and what you transformed from an idea into something that other people can benefit from.
That'll be great. Thank you, Andrea.
All right. Well, Nikki, thanks so much for joining me, and I hope you've inspired many, especially ladies who are up to their ears in diapers and dishes and all sorts of things, to realize that whether they're an artist or a writer or a musician or whatever it is, that they will be a better wife and mother pursuing the gifts that God has given them rather than squelch them and complain how they don't really get to do the things they want to do.
Yes, that's an excellent point.
Thank you, Nikki. Thank you all for listening, and join me again next time for the Kingdom Driven Family. There